I'm just going to make a very few brief comments, and I do regret very much that I have to leave early because I have a meeting that was rescheduled that I couldn't avoid it, so I'm leaving at 12:45. But I did want to be here today with other colleagues from the House you're putting on this luncheon to thank us for our work, but I think we also want to say that we deeply appreciate the courage that has been shown by Falun Gong practitioners here in Canada as well as in China, and for the great strength that you have shown in bringing this issue to our attention. And I feel that the work that we've been able to do in the House, and there are several of us here who have attended some press conferences and written letters jointly and raised this issue, and to me, this is a demonstration of what is good in democracy in Canada, when members of different parties, you know, and often we disagree on many things, but when we find a sense of unity and purpose around such an important issue of upholding human rights, whether it's in China or whether it's here in Canada or anywhere else in the world, I think to me this is the best symbol of what our democracy is about. And I have attended, as you've heard, a number of events both in my own community in East Vancouver, as well as in Ottawa. I've heard some of the personal stories of what has happened to practitioners when they've been detained, when they've been tortured, when they've had no charges laid against them, when their lives have been devastated, when their families have been devastated. And I feel compelled, as one member of Parliament, and I think with other members of Parliament, to use the democratic rights that we have here in this country to stand up and to speak out and to speak to our government. And one of the messages that I think we've tried to put forward is, because Canada does have a very strong relationship with the People's Republic of China in terms of trade, and we've seen all of the Team Canada efforts and so on, and what we've tried to say is that human rights come first. They should not be at the bottom of the agenda. They should not be ignored. They should be at the top of the agenda. And that's something that we say to our own government. And we can say that with no repercussion, no punitive action. I'm not going to get hauled off to jail for saying something like that. And so, again, I think it is so critical that we use the privileges and the rights that we have in Canada to defend the rights of people who simply want to be practitioners of Falun Gong in the People's Republic of China. So I feel very honored to be here today to say thank you to you for raising the consciousness of the Canadian people about this issue and why it is that we have a responsibility to show leadership, to speak out, and to defend the rights of the practitioners, and particularly those who are now in detention. To hear the stories that are still coming out is really quite horrifying. So today, even though I'm leaving early, I do want to say that I certainly commit to continue to do all that I can as a member of Parliament, to work with my colleagues in a unified way, so that we can send a strong message to our own government that they must take this issue up and put pressure on the Chinese government to release all people who are in detention, to allow people to freely practice their beliefs without any punitive action or torture or jail sentences and so on. So thank you for coming, and as I say, it's my honor to be here, to be with you today. Thank you.
Well, it's always a delight to be at Falun Gong events. Of course, the purpose of our meetings are very serious, but you're always surrounded by such a fine group of people who are so transparently represent the values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance that are the cores of the Falun Gong system of beliefs. One of the very first things I did when I was elected was to make a statement about Professor Kunlun Zhang. In fact, it was the very first thing I rose and spoke about in the House of Commons after I was elected. And that wasn't really because at the time I had any particular awareness of the issue. It was because of the fact, or any particular insight, it was because of the fact that there had been a couple of constituents who during the election of 2000 had come to every single candidate's debate, all candidates' debate, and asked, what will you do about Falun Gong, and particularly about the fact that there is a Canadian citizen in prison in another another country for doing nothing other than practicing his beliefs. Those people who were coming to those debates were Lucy and Shunli, who are here today, and they've done so much for their fellow practitioners that I think they deserve a round of applause from all of us. I wonder if we could do that. Libby was right. It's awfully easy to stand here as a member of Parliament and speak. You can say whatever you want, intelligent or foolish, courageous or not, and nothing will happen to you. The worst that can happen to you is you'll lose an election and go on and into some other aspect of life. But you could see from the video, there are people who simply standing up and expressing their point of view, simply standing up and saying, I'm not prepared to abandon the beliefs that motivate my life, is enough to get them captured, arrested, as you saw, imprisoned, to vanish into the maw of that terrible police state machine that exists in China. And we could despair of the fact that this occurs, looking at it from outside and think that this is unconquerable, except that we have seen that some efforts have been successful. The extraordinary efforts put out by Falun Gong practitioners here in Canada, in the United States, in Australia, in Germany, in Sweden. I'm only naming a few of the countries on behalf of their fellow practitioners. And because of their efforts on behalf of their fellow practitioners, and because other fellow practitioners in China are willing to take on these risks themselves, we have seen that some people do emerge from the other side of that enormous and terrible police state machine, some of whom have been freed from prison and have joined us here in Canada. And there are actually is now a growing list. So that's very gratifying. And looking at some of these individuals at Yingzhou, at Kunlunzheng, I must say, as a Canadian, knowing that they are here with us as Canadians, that gives me faith, it makes me confident in my country and in the future of my country, that we are able to integrate them as our citizens, that they are able to take a leading role as citizens of this country and to be an example of courage and of faith and, of course, of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance to all of us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joel, and good afternoon, everyone. It is a pleasure to be here with you for this luncheon of thankfulness, but obviously also a time where we need to reflect and remember that while there have been some very important successes, there is much, much to be done with respect to the serious human rights situation facing Falun Gong in China and the situation more generally in China. Because basic human rights are violated, flouted, and undermined daily in China. While the world eagerly courts China's business and turns a blind eye to post-September the 11th abuses, which are carried out under the rhetoric of fighting terrorism, arbitrary detention, torture, unfair political trials, executions are the frightening, inescapable reality for men, women, and youth in every corner of the country. And perhaps saddest of all is that it's getting worse, not better. The treatment of Falun Gong followers is one particularly stark example of the dire straits of human rights in China. For more than 3 years now, Amnesty International has recorded an escalating pattern of serious human rights violations, arrests of tens of thousands of practitioners, thousands sent to labor camps without charge or trial. We believe that Chinese authorities may have allowed over 400 practitioners to die in custody as a result of torture or ill treatment. As we all know, a number of Canadian citizens, permanent residents, or their family members have suffered the consequences of this brutal crackdown. At present, Amnesty International has taken up the case of Li Zhehe, who is married to Li Zhang, a Canadian permanent resident. Li Ji was sentenced to 3.5 years imprisonment in December of 2000 because of his Falun Gong activities. Li Ji is a prisoner of conscience and should be immediately and unconditionally released. Amnesty has repeatedly urged Canada more actively to push China to end the systematic abuses of fundamental human rights, of Falun Gong followers, and countless other groups and individuals throughout the country, and to pressure China to enact the sort of human rights reforms that will guard against these abuses continuing in the future. But while trade opportunities expand, human rights concerns fade into the background. A quiet process of dialogue about human rights between the two governments is so quiet and so circumspect as to be virtually imperceptible and has not led to any noticeable improvements. Both governments talk about the importance of improving the rule of law in China, but China's ongoing contempt for basic human rights belies the emptiness of that promise. Canada's growing silence and inaction cannot stand. Instead, we must see a commitment forcefully and persuasively to raise human rights issues at every possible turn and juncture. One such opportunity lies immediately ahead. In just over 2 weeks, Jean Chrétien will meet up with Jiang Zemin at the APEC summit in Mexico. In Mexico, the Prime Minister must press for action, real action, with respect to human rights in China, with respect to the treatment of Falun Gong followers, and with respect to the case of Li Jiehe. Action, not silence. Thank you.
First of all, I think it's appropriate to congratulate the local Falun Gong organizers. The attendance has shown that the family has grown, the family of support has grown from the first time we did this, so it's nice to see so many more in these kinds of gatherings. I'm, I guess, of mixed feelings being here today, particularly happy that I am here with a group of people, parliamentarians and otherwise, in lending our support to the Falun Gong organization and their struggle for basic human rights and human values. The mixed feelings come from my, embarrassment at standing here, being part of a parliament where I think those who are here from parliament would agree with me that we should be embarrassed at the position that our government is taking, particularly on the Falun Gong issue, but also generally on the issue of human rights when it comes to China. I had an opportunity to recently address the media on the issue of human rights in China, and I said that I am saddened by the fact that the Canadian government has prostituted itself on the economic altar to at the expense of the thing that Canada and Canadians have been best known over the years, and that is to stand up for the little guy, to be able to stand up there and say, we believe in values, we believe in human dignity. I am not at all convinced that this government really believes, at least not as strongly as previous governments have, and of all political stripes, I may add. So that is the mixed feeling that I have, in the sense that I am part of a parliament where the government, I think, has abdicated its responsibility, and one which it had carried out so well over the last 20, 30, 40 years in defending human rights and defending values. Because if you don't defend values, what are we really for? So I'm delighted to be here, and I continue to add my support to this cause and other causes which fight for human dignity and the fundamental principles of human values. I would like to add one more word, and that is that Certainly speaking for myself, but I think we can speak for all members of Parliament who stand up and criticize China, that we're not criticizing the Chinese people. As we saw from the stark images that we have seen here today and others that we've seen, the Chinese people are very courageous people who are struggling against an evil government, a government that rules at the end of a gun, which is a government that rules without any real courage, because only those who have no courage, only cowards, govern at the end of a gun instead of through the rule of law. And I think it's marvelous to see that there are so many Chinese, not only Falun Gong, but other Chinese who have stood up and pronounce themselves at the expense of maybe their lives, certainly their health, to be opposed to the Chinese government. I think they're the courageous people. They're the inspiration. They're the people that we look to continue to inspire us to help you. Thank you very much.